Welcome to Blueprints for Brilliance Coaching Insights, a podcast by coaches for coaches. Our guests share their hard-won wisdom to help you grow your coaching business and create a life of success. So get ready to unlock the blueprints to your success.
Welcome everyone to our newest episode. I appreciate you being here today, and I appreciate the opportunity to chat with Jackie Edmondson. She's in Atlanta, Georgia. She's a leadership coach and consultant, and we're going to talk a little bit about the difference between those and kind of how that all came to be. So welcome to the show, Jackie. It's lovely to have you.
Oh, thank you so much. What a pleasure to be here with you today and to have this great conversation.
Yeah, I'm excited. So let's talk a little bit about what was your journey to becoming a coach slash consultant, and then we'll talk a little bit in a little while about what the difference is.
Yeah, absolutely. So interestingly enough, I have kind of worn a number of hats over the years. I started my career in the federal government, which I know is a hot topic for a lot of people right now. And I would definitely say coaching is a great place to turn when they're looking for the support during navigating these changes. But from there, I made the jump into project management, public affairs. I was doing all sorts of fun stuff there for the government and decided, you know what, how can I apply this somewhere else? And went to private sector and landed in digital marketing, which was a heck of a lot faster, definitely cutting edge, and a really great opportunity for me to hone some of the skills I had and learn more. And from this really came a unique 360 degree leadership perspective. I had dabbled in everything. You name it, I probably touched it, you know, whether it was dealing with a personnel issue, standing up a new division, project management, transformation, all of the things, even mergers and acquisitions. And that's given me this 360 degree perspective. And what a unique way to then be able to step in and help as a coach or as a consultant to guide other people who are dealing with these situations or things in front of them. And they feel like, oh my God, there's a hurdle here. I don't know who to turn to. And I'm able to know enough to be dangerous on how to guide you through that, but also guide you through that in a place where you're feeling that you're aligned with your values and your ethics, and you're doing what's best for your business, as well as for those that you're interacting with.
That's fantastic. Now, do you work with individuals or businesses or both?
I do both. So I've had the privilege of kind of stepping in and guiding individuals. Usually they are mid-management to executive level, and then also joining teams and really helping connect the dots between those leadership teams to move a specific initiative forward.
I love that. That's awesome. So we mentioned earlier, we're going to talk about what is the difference between a coaching and consulting. And I love that you've got the 360 degree view, so you can see how it all works together.
Yeah, I think they naturally overlap in a lot of ways, at least for me and the way that I approach working with individuals, working with businesses. A lot of the coaching piece is figuring out what is that individual or that business trying to achieve, and what is their why behind it? What fits into those pieces? Who are they as an individual, and what's going to make them feel like they achieve that success? For some people, that might be hitting a specific KPI. For other people, that might be learning something new. Regardless, we want to get to that end goal, but also meet those other needs in the middle. And that's where that leadership coach, I think, really comes into play, is asking the right questions and helping drive that individual to those answers, and they're finding that themselves, right? And really pushing on the why, asking it five times, you know, all those best practices that you know. When it comes to consulting, it's a little bit more prescriptive, or this is what I think, this is how I would go about it, this is what I've seen. And I think there's a way to kind of bridge those two together. And in fact, I'd even offer that's the best way to approach some things, is offering a little bit of both.
Yeah, I love that. I'm just writing a note here. It sounds like consulting is kind of the path. Mm-hmm. Coaching is more of like the internal and emotional and motivational, you know, part of it.
Yeah, for sure. I think that the coaching is more of the business side of, you know, we must meet this goal. we're going to get there, right? And the coaching piece is, how am I going to support you in meeting that business goal? And both, I believe, are important aspects, especially when you're talking about business consulting. Usually if somebody's coming in, they do need that coach. They do need that additional support, not just from a business line perspective, but for their leadership, for their confidence, feeling like they actually have a partner. And in my experience, one of the best ways to be a partner is to be that understated coach for them.
I love that. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about, tell us a little bit about a client or two that you've worked with. Maybe it was an amazing transformation, or maybe it was just an aha moment. Tell us a little bit about some people that you've worked with.
Yeah, I think I'll start with a woman, an individual that I recently worked with who was actually making the transition from federal government to private sector. And it, the reason I bring this up is, for me, it's all about impact and value, and that's what really drives me. And to get something from her after we engaged to say, I feel so much more empowered, I feel less of the chaos in my brain going around, that's what makes me happy. What we did together was a lot of me listening to her first. We wanted to digest, how are you feeling? What are those emotions? All of them are fair at this point, right? And we're talking about overwhelm. We're talking about confusion. We're talking about change. If you've been in your role or in the federal government for 15, 20 years, that is a big change to think about. I mean, even thinking about acronyms that are used on a daily basis that aren't used in private sector, that in itself can feel like a mountain that they have to climb. So really taking some time to digest that and ground her in, yes, these are all true. Let's acknowledge them. But let's also talk about how that's actually going to propel you forward in this next opportunity. And from there, we were able to chunk things out. We were able to chunk out, let's translate what your experience is into private sector terms. Let's translate your core values into what kind of role or organization you would like to work with. Is it nonprofit? Is it a law firm? Is it a large corporation? Maybe you want to do a startup. This is really an opportunity, and let's look at it that way. From there, we are able to align everything else. We're able to align a LinkedIn profile. We're able to align the resume. We're able to do some career coaching and interview practice, because that's also different. And so for her to walk out of that and not only have tangibles, which are very important, but to have that confidence that she felt like now she was in control of her situation, that was really just the icing on the cake for me. That's what I'm always looking to see from people is, are you empowered? Do you feel in control? Because it is really your opportunity to go out there and grab.
Yeah, you're putting them in a position of feeling like they can go out there and do and have and be whatever they want. And that's amazing. I mean, that's optimum, I would say.
Yeah, and that's what really makes me happy. And I think on the flip side is looking at organizations that I've stepped into, either as a consultant or as an employee, and being able to do that transition of, we're in one place and we want to change into something else, right? And you could have problems from a financial perspective, a personnel perspective, they're all there. But I lean on that coach inside me to really connect the dots and build genuine relationships. And I feel that once you've got those genuine relationships built within an organization, you are able to move the needle when it comes to change management. If you don't have the people coming along with you, you're not going to get to the end goal. I don't care how many metrics you have without the people coming along. And that's where that inner coach really helps push things like that forward.
So I would think a lot of what you coach also has to do with communication and interpretation of communication, because you know, sometimes when you're in a position and you feel like something's stopping you from moving forward, somebody's attitude or some kind of rules or whatever, you either, if you can change the relationship with that person, they may not be thinking what they're thinking.
Right.
Makes sense.
Yeah, that does. And I think communication is really at the heart of it. It's funny you mentioned that because that was actually my major in college. So to lean on that skill set, I think is very important. I've learned this rule, you've probably heard it yourself, where you need to repeat something at least 5 to 7 times before it's actually going to sink in. And sometimes an individual or an organization, you really need to ground them in that. And it's not just about communicating it 5 times. It's also communicating it different ways and taking a step back and saying, who is my target audience? What's in it for them? And how do they like to be communicated with? There's a lot of what I call organizational EQ that goes into that. Understanding, if you're talking, let's say, at a divisional level, what those different divisions are trying to accomplish, what kind of personalities are in there. I mean, let's be honest, the IT team is going to need a different type of communication because they have a different type of interest than the marketing team, right? One might be a phone call or an email. The other might be, let's get on a Zoom call. And you need to craft those communications and touch points aligned with who you are going after to move that needle in the right way and in a quick way. And, you know, otherwise you're wasting time. And how do you think about cascading that? What are the appropriate touch points? And I like to always encourage people to think about, how does that trickle down? Let's think about 6 steps from now. If I call you and I tell you about a situation, what is that phone line going to look like? Who are you going to pick up and call the phone about? And then making sure that I'm reaching out or someone on my team is reaching out ahead of that, because you always want that person to feel special. You always want them to feel valued, and ensuring they get the communication in a timely way, in a way that resonates with them, is really critical to that.
Yeah, that's such a big part of leadership. Mm-hmm. You know, because like you said, it makes me think of like the 4 love languages, 5 love languages.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where it talks about, you know, people receive information differently. Mm-hmm. They value different ways of receiving information.
Yes. So,
I would think that that might be something that the kind of concepts that you use as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not sure that everybody's putting as much emphasis on that as they should. A lot of times when I'm coaching someone or going in as a consultant, my first recommendation is let's slow down to speed up, because that is critical to setting up your foundation to keep momentum as you go forward. And if I think about those different paths of communication, let's get creative. A lot of times those that I'm working with are, okay, we're going to do a deck and we're going to present it on this day and then we're send out notes. That's great. We should do that. But what other touch points do we need? Are we talking about technicians in the field? They're not going to look at a PowerPoint, right? Are we talking about an executive or a board? Of course, they're going to look at that. And getting yourself out of your typical brain, your own silo, your bias for communication and thinking about others, whether you're an individual who is, you know, coaching somebody up on how to interact with their leadership team, or you're coming in as a consultant to try to drive change, focusing in there, I think, is well worth the time and the effort.
Yeah, I was just writing down, you were talking about other people involved and kind of how they're receiving information. And yeah. In a total sense, you kind of have to think bigger picture, like, well, is this person going to watch and listen to a PowerPoint? Maybe right. Not. And so how else can I communicate this to them mm-hmm. in a way that they're going to understand it and absorb it and be inspired to...
Absolutely. And I think that it takes a little bit of extra effort, but that extra effort is well worth it. And that might mean if we're coaching someone who's new to a C-suite and each of the executive leaders has a different preferred method of communication, that might be what you need to do in order to build those relationships and really get to know that. I'm always coaching others on how do you lay those grassroots efforts before you even get to the meeting, so that your idea is already accepted before you got to that meeting. This is now just the formal presentation of that. And now we're all going to clap and accept it, right? And part of that is building those relationships behind the scenes and making sure that you're having that direct connection. You can speak that language to them. Yes, it takes more interaction ahead of the game, but it pays off when you're in that meeting later.
I love that, because that can be applied to if you're an entrepreneur and it's your business and you're marketing it, that mm-hmm. can apply to your family and it's yep. setting yep. up, you know, environments, those little hints, so that when the conversation comes up, everybody's already thought about it and they're they're kind of leaning in your direction.
Exactly. And that's what I call that organizational EQ. And it's really for the betterment. It's used for good. It's about really figuring out, how do we make this something for everyone, and how do I relate it to them in the best way possible?
Yeah, that's awesome. Are there any other clients you want to tell us about? Any other transformations that you can think of?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. Even if I go back and I think about other clients that I've worked with, I think supporting young entrepreneurs as well as women entrepreneurs who are kind of breaking off from something. I've worked with a law firm lately that has just been such a pleasure. And it is started by an incredible woman who has built this firm over the past 10 years. And really just making sure that she has the right resources and people in place. One of the things I often find dealing with entrepreneurs and founders is they have incredible visionary ideas. But when it comes down to actually running the business and operating it, that's just not their place of genius. And that's okay. And encouraging them to find and build a team around them that can support them in those efforts is really critical, right? And in this example, thinking about this attorney, I mean, where is her time best spent? It is best spent with the client. It is best spent representing those people and using the passion that she has for law and helping others. It is not best spent doing bookkeeping, doing the marketing efforts, scheduling the 10th anniversary party, right? That should be delegated out. And how do we coach and support that individual in finding that tribe that they can trust? Because this is their baby. And rightfully so, right? And we have to have respect for that. But they need that group of people to support them and lean on that they can trust.
I love that, because not everyone can say, I love working with this law firm.
Yeah.
You often hear, so I'm sure she's grateful that you feel that way. But I love that you're talking about delegating, because that's actually what we do with our clients as well. Mm-hmm. They're all entrepreneurs and small business owners. And when it comes to marketing, you know, we help them find and outsource some of their marketing to a virtual assistant. But we started with them recording an SEO rich video. So it's their words, it's their concepts, it's their passion. And then the VA just takes it in and makes sure that it's accessible everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. And I think marketing is a great example. I've spent a good amount of time in that industry. And that's definitely one that is worth finding a good partner, whether it's an agency, whether it's a consultant, whether it's someone offshore. But you're touching on such an important piece of making sure that it's your voice. You are, as the founder and entrepreneur, the absolute best advertising for what you're doing. No one is going to speak with that same passion. No one is going to have that direct connection. It's that relational sell that you're doing there, and making sure you get good video quotes, you're promoting yourself. Shouldn't feel bad about that. It is really at the core of your business, and finding the person who can represent that as well as highlight it and optimize it correctly for marketing. There's no better ROI than money spent there.
Yeah, I love that. So let's talk about, so if somebody is saying, you know I need a shift in my life, in my business, what would you recommend kind of their first step?
Yeah, for me, I always ground myself in values. I've done a values-based exercise a number of times over my own career, and I use that same perspective when I'm working with others. I would do a simple exercise of, let's ground ourselves there. And I don't believe that your professional and personal values need to be different. In fact, I think it's better if they're aligned. And identifying what are those top five things. And once we've narrowed that list down, we can then use that to ground any decisions as we move forward. So if fun is one of your values, which is mine, there might be some industries that you don't think look fun. So let's not go after those. You know, if building genuine relationships is one of yours, you want to make sure that you're looking for an organization or building something that gives you the opportunity to do that. And I've always used that to also screen different organizations when I'm applying for a job or wanting to partner with them. Are we going to be aligned there? Because if we are, I know I'm going to have it, one, an easier time making a decision. Two, I'm going to be a lot happier in my job. And three, I'm probably going to be a lot more successful because we're aligned at the very basic level.
Yeah. I love that one of yours is fun, because that's absolutely one of mine. And I think people forget that they can include that as something that they want on a regular basis. I want laughter. I want fun. I want, you know, lighthearted enjoyment. You know, not everything can be that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also really good. I'm thinking about people who might be applying for a position, or like you said, thinking about a business partner or somebody they want to partner with. These are some really good, you know, because oftentimes you get caught up in, what am I going to ask them? What are we going to talk about? Mm-hmm. If you can kind of ahead of time set some of these questions that are determining what some of their core values are, I would think that make the conversation so much easier for you. And it would also help you understand better who they are.
Absolutely. And I've gone as far as to ask people in interviews, what are your top values? What do you think? You know, it's a little bit hard on the spot, and I recognize that and I appreciate that. But to hear how they answer it really does give you that insight into how they think and what that would be like to interact with on a daily basis.
Yeah. And even them asking the interviewer,
right?
You know, what are your company's core values? You know, what do you think makes you successful? I think we forget that we can ask questions too.
Absolutely. And I think that's probably one of the biggest parts. You know, if I'm looking for a partner, I want them to be just as engaged with me. I want, you know, I'm going to come to you if we were doing a coaching interview. I'd tell you all this information about myself and want to know more about you, but I want you to be just as engaged with me. And even just that engagement is a very telling sign for what that partnership is going to be like. Hopefully these questions on values maybe spur something else. I've had people ask me, well, how do you see them come out on a day-to-day basis? Does it help you make your decisions? You know, and that kind of conversation then in itself tells me that we're aligned and we're going to be a good match.
Yeah, that's great. So tell us again, the people who are listening and myself, who would be your ideal client if you have one, and kind of how you work with them? Is it, you know, do you go to their office? Is it, you know, online if it needs to be? Is it one-on-one? Is it group? Does it just depend?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I like to customize things for where people are at. So it's meeting the business or meeting the individual where they are at. A lot of the times my clients are remote, and that's totally fine. I am more than happy to do that. And I think you can build genuine relationships virtually. It's always great to meet up with someone. And I always say, I love to see how tall you are, because we have no idea on Zoom. So that's always the fun part, to see how tall you are. But I work primarily with middle management who is looking to grow into executive. How do I support you? What kind of things do you need to do in order to get there? As well as once they've gotten there, if they're new to the executive level, how do you make that transition from the tactical to the strategic? That is such a tough transition that a lot of us have to go through and nobody's really talking about. And it is hard to do that, and providing that support and that coaching to do so. As well as helping other executives who are new to teams. How do you build those connections? Not everybody is an extrovert like me. Not everybody's going to communicate in the same way. And helping individuals who don't have that same personality, but want to make those genuine connections, I can help coach you on that, give you some ideas about how to do that in a way that feels genuine and authentic to yourself.
Yeah, that's so important, because, you know, we always laugh and say that, you know, you can get promoted because you do such an amazing job up to a level, but nobody teaches you necessarily. They'll train you in what to do, but not always necessarily how to do it, or how the communication needs to go, or, you know, stepping into, because it's a different role. And it's, right, you know, you were really good at this one, but am I going to be good at this one?
Right. It's a lot of the political savvy, to be honest, once you get up there. And that is a learned skill, and you need to practice it and get some muscle memory and get comfortable with it. And I think that's very important as you transition there.
Yeah. But I do love your question about how tall are you, because it's always the really handsome, good looking celebrities who are like, you know, 5 foot,
There you go. Right. And I've had people play jokes on me as well. And they'll say, oh, well, I'm 6'5" and I show up and they're like, you know, 5'7" and I'm like, wait a minute, you know, so, but it's always fun to see people in person as well. And I'm willing to meet people in person. I'm willing to travel. It's all about what do you need? And let's create something bespoke that works for you and meets the goals that you want to achieve. So whether you're an individual or you're a company, my main focus when it comes to companies is in high growth stages where they are transforming and there is some change management there. And how do I help you connect those dots, define what success looks like, and then rally the troops to get us there?
That's so great. So Jackie, tell us, if people are listening and they're saying, she's speaking my language, I need to get a hold of her, what is the best way for them to reach you?
Yeah, absolutely. Just look me up on LinkedIn. It's Jackie Edmondson. Drop me a message there and I will get back to you. I love, you know, connecting with new people and would be happy to connect with some of the folks listening.
Love that. Love that. Okay. So last question is what I always ask is, if you could give the world one tip to make it a better place, what would that be?
I am going to say find humor each day. I mean, we just had a quick laugh, right, about the height thing. And life is too short to not smile and to not have a few laughs. Yes, work can be serious. There are things that we need to be very strategic about and pointed about. But at the end of the day, we should have happiness in our day. And finding a way to laugh and build genuine relationships around that, laughter is probably one of the best ways to build those relationships. So take a moment for humor, bring it into your day. Your work day is what, probably 8 to 12 hours? Take a second to laugh. Nothing's that serious that you can't take a moment to just have fun.
Agree 100%. What was that? Laughter is the best medicine.
That's correct. Yeah.
Was that actually from like the Reader's Digest or did it come from somewhere else?
I have no idea, but I think it's on point.
I think it is too. Jackie, this has been such a pleasure to get to know you, to hear your concepts, to hear what amazing work you're doing. So we're grateful for people like you out in the world helping people who need your help.
No, thank you so much for the opportunity and for all that you're doing to continue to inspire and empower others. And it's just been a pleasure chatting today.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for joining us today on Blueprints for Brilliance Coaching Insights. We hope you're leaving this episode with inspiration to take your coaching business and your life to the next level. If you found value in this episode, we would love it if you would subscribe and share it with someone else who you think might benefit from hearing it. Thanks, and we'll see you in the next episode.